A-team on the field for a UK friendly game on a Monday afternoon. Wonderful to see. However, the Marlins offense continues not to show up through spring. We're going to dig into the immediate reaction to Monday's game and the 5-0 defeat to the Cardinals. Also, I wanted to carry on a wonderful episode of Fish Stripes over from last week with the player props, over-unders, beyond that conversation, and dig into some of the actual props that Eli put forward and give my team as well. So tons to get into, all on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. This, of course, is your daily Marlins podcast. I'm your host, Peter Pratt. Hit me up on Twitter at @MiamiMarlins_UK. It is your team every day. Hit subscribe on the pods. They're available everywhere and free. And head over to YouTube, Locked On Marlins. Hit subscribe there too. We're over 500 subscribers on YouTube. Absolute scenes. We are trending. Will we ever get to 1,000? Who knows? Who really cares? Main thing is, I hope you're enjoying the content. Monday of March, next week, opening day. All this talk of spring, games don't matter. Next week, on Thursday, opening day. Games will matter. And these next 10 or so days, I think, are very important for the Marlins and for them to gel, I think. I think what we're really looking for them to do is to come together and start to gel as a unit. This WBC kind of being dropped in the middle of spring has definitely not helped the Marlins, particularly with the infield shift around and the personnel being asked to do what they're asked to do. Jazz out in center. Like, it's been a little bit stop-start, but now we're really starting to shrink down this roster, starting to get, you know, the A-team out there. The A-team was definitely out there today. Didn't perform like it, but the guys, the next couple of, you know, week and a half, it's about gelling, coming together, being ready to go. Because, listen, the Mets, they're going to be ready to go. Not sure about their closing situation or who's playing center field, maybe Starling Marte, but the Mets are going to be ready to go. With that being said, this episode and today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM, managing your baseball franchise, then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all caps in the game. More about those guys later on. But as I mentioned, I wanted to just recap on what we saw today. And also, I wanted to springboard off a Fish Stripes live episode from last week. The UK GOAT, Sean Barrett, was on the show. So naturally, I mean, I watch all the shows anyway, but it was great that Sean was on there. And I loved the idea and the concept that Eli put for under player props, covering every player. We're only going to focus today on some of the hitting props that were there, because otherwise we'll run out of time. But I thought there were some really intriguing ones. So well done to Eli for that episode, and well done to the guys. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It was a great episode. I think like an hour and a half extravaganza. So love to see that from the Fish Stripes guys, and love to see Sean Barrett doing his thing for sure. Today's game, though, guys, offense struggled again. It has been the theme. I've said it now for the past, you know, week or so. Maybe there's like what you're seeing is a repeating cycle here of around about five or six hits, a couple of errors. Today there was one, and, you know, less than two runs. Seems to be the way the Marlins offense is going. But I would say the interesting was the actual lineup itself. And I think we are getting extremely close to what opening day and what first choice or A-team lineup will look like. If you haven't seen the game or the box score thus far, I'll just quickly run through them for you. Luis Urrea is in the leadoff spot. He had two hits today. Listen, Luis Urrea, I'm going to talk about him shortly on this player props thing from Fish Stripes, but boy, oh boy, I am blown away by Luis Urrea. It's funny, right? You don't see a player tons because they're in the AL, you know, the Twins, and I don't watch a ton of Twins games or games from many other teams, to be honest with you. Haven't seen a bunch of Luis Arraez, but I must say, he is an absolute stud. Stud. I love Luis Arraez. And I remember at the time, the Twins fans saying, Pete, you are going to love Luis Arraez. Not only is he just a hitting machine, but he is just a fun-loving dude as well. Luis Arraez absolutely has it all. We saw it in the WBC. He absolutely exploded over the weekend with a multi-home run game in Lone Depot as well. Absolute scenes from Luis Arraez. I cannot be more pumped about this guy. Another two hits today. Interestingly for Venezuela, he was hitting in the three hole. Seemingly the Marlins and this roster anyway, this lineup today, suggests he might be hitting in the leadoff spot, trying to get someone on base in advance of everyone else. Jazz Chisholm hitting in the two hole today. Jorge Soler in left field. So Soler continuing in left field. Gerrit Cooper DHing. I think there's a real good chance that we see plenty of that from Coop this year. Avisel Garcia in right field. It was an absolutely terrible day for Avisel Garcia. Four at-bats, three Ks, and the only at-bat he didn't K, he grounded into a double play. Absolutely putrid day for Avisel Garcia. Mean Gene Segura then at third base. Yuli Gurriel at first. Joey Wendell at short. And then the catcher spot as well. For me, this is really close to what opening day will look like. Swap out the catcher and put Sandy Alcantara on the mound. And I think that is probably your opening day roster. Who is on the bench is up for debate. What I would say over the weekend, you know, we're starting to have a little bit of discourse. I need to get Craig on here, actually. Craig Mish, I know you listen. Send me a message later. Let's get it fired up this week, brother, because, you know, there's questions that the Marlins fans are asking. Unfortunately, you know, Swings and Mishes isn't around anymore to give us all of this kind of daily feed of information, or weekly feed, sorry. So I'll try and get Craig on here and we can mop some of this up. But you know what we're hearing is De La Cruz is making the team. There is no battle there. He thinks that Jesus Sanchez is also going to make the team. John Birdie's going to make the team. And it looks like Yuli Gurriel is. So for me, that says that likely Jose Iglesias not going to be making the opening day roster. So we'll see how it goes. But that's just the general vibe we're getting. How are they going to find playing time for all these guys when five outfielders, you know, is an interesting approach, you know, particularly when you've got, you know, Jazz and center. Really, it's five outfielders, but four of them are corner outfielders, and then Jazz a makeshift center fielder. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they mix and match. Kudos today as well to Dan the Man Castano. I must say, I love Castano. I've always loved him since the 2020 season. Never heard of him before 2020. Came up, just did his thing in that year where you just needed everyone. You needed anyone in the organization that could do anything that closely resembles a Major League Baseball player. And Castano did it with aplomb in 2020. And he's just dependable, isn't he? I was surprised at the time that the Marlins DFA'd him. You know, they were trying to get other guys on the roster, and we know the drill. It is what it is. But, you know, for me, Dan Castano, he's dependable. He, you know, he can give you five. Right? He's the kind of guy that has proven he gives you five with just three hits, a walk, and four Ks for Dan the Man Castano. It's bringing his ERA in spring to, and are you ready for this now, 0.71. Dan Castano, an absolute stud. Stephen Oakert took the L though today, guys, and his ERA has jumped up to 9.64. Not good. Not good. Good to see Brazoban, Puck, and Tanner Scott, though, as well today. So the guys, the relievers, starting to get their body of work in. It's been a little bit higgledy-piggledy with the relievers. Obviously, Brazoban with his visa issues, AJ Puck, Tanner Scott with their injuries, being shut down for a couple of weeks. So it's good to see these guys starting to get a body of work in. We're going to see how this kind of bullpen itself meshes together. But, you know, for me, Dan Castano, he's putting his best foot forward. He always puts his best foot forward. And I think there's a good chance that Dan Castano starts eight games or more for the Marlins in 2023. I don't know if that was one of the props, actually. I don't know if there was a prop for Dan Castano for Fish Stripes Live last week. Before we get to them, guys, let's get the graphics fired up firstly. Love these graphics. And there you go. Get those QR codes up as well, baby. For those that are watching anyway, can see this. So this episode, as I mentioned, is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. And you've got to be geeked out of this one. It's our new partner and sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your professional baseball franchise, well, your dream can come true. And this game is definitely for you. You can manage every aspect, strategic aspect of your team. Play through the season and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for it all, guys. Hiring the right coaches and staff, managing team finances, asking all the players, managing difficult personalities, navigating your franchise through free agency and all the ups and downs of a season. It is all there, and it's a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline, so you can play on the go as you want, when and where you want to. Locked On listeners will get 100% of their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store, so make sure to check it out. Download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com or scan the QR code that's there on the screen or look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. Wonderful. Wonderful. Love that. All right. So let's just talk about some of these props. I thought it was a great episode. And like I said, go and check it out. Some of the most interesting ones, I would say, I'm just going to go through them. I think they were done alphabetically, so go through it in this way. The first one was Luis Arraez. It was over under 173.5 hits, which is basically Luis Arraez's, I think, career mark, which was, I believe, last year for hits. So the question was, is he going to hit his last year's hit total? And for me, I mean, it was a no-brainer, yes. No-brainer, yes, for Luis Arraez to surpass it for a number of reasons. The ballpark is a boost. The shift is a boost. He's going to be leading off, so he's going to get a ton. I mean, he was leading off plenty last year too, but he's going to be getting a ton of opportunities and plate appearances. So for me, Luis Arraez, for certain. The only concern you have with Luis Arraez is just he's going to be asked to do a lot more defensively in the field at second base, rather than in the main first base or DHing like he did last year. That's the plan. Skip Schumacher as well. I believe someone asked him relatively recently whether Arraez could see time at first base. His answer, Skip's, was in a pinch, only in a pinch. I guess now you've got Coop and you've got Gurriel. That kind of takes away the need for Arraez to have to cover first base. So it looks like it's going to be a ton of Arraez at second base. I must say, unfortunately, there was an error today. It was on Mean Gene Segura, but Arraez was also involved in that play. Mean Gene fielded a ground ball. Looked like a routine double play opportunity. Missed the throw. Arraez kind of coming into the second base bag. They couldn't connect. Overthrow and a run scored. So that's where the error came from in today's game. That's the only thing for me on Arraez is just the body of work and the toll on what was described as some, you know, potentially challenging knees, let's say, with Arraez. There is some injury history there with the knees. And so the Marlins may need to manage the workload. I don't know. They certainly have enough second basemen on the roster to be able to manage the workload at second base. Who knows how the season progresses as well, guys, because Gerrit Cooper, as we know, is a free agent at the end of this year. So will Gurriel. And so as the season progresses, things can change in that position specifically, which may mean that, or may see that Arraez ends up sliding over to first base during the season. It's possible that the longer-term goal here, potentially at first base, is for Arraez to actually play first base in the 2020s. We'll wait and see. He isn't prototypical in terms of his makeup for first base. I'm interested to see how the defense plays at second base. With the shift changes, it's going to be second base defense and range is going to be at a premium, which is why it would have been nice for Jazz Chisholm Jr. in some ways to have been there. But it is what it is. Luis Arraez, I believe he will surpass the number from last year quite significantly. He may even get up to, I don't know, 200 hits. Who knows? Who knows? With Arraez, anything's possible. He's an absolute stud, as I mentioned. John Birdie. They had the mark at 29.5 stolen bases. He had 41 last year. For me, that is a low mark. I understand why Eli set the mark there. He set that because John Birdie was asked to play a lot last year. Let me just put it out there right now. John Birdie is going to be asked to play a lot this year too. He is. That's just the reality. Guys will get hurt, and Birdie, he is the ultimate utility guy. There'll be a bunch of playing time for Birdie. There'll be absolutely tons. It wouldn't shock me if he had a similar body of work to last year. And where does that take you stolen bases? It takes you miles past 30, miles past it. Maybe there's no reason why John Birdie can't get to something silly like 50 stolen bases. I am smashing the life out of the over on that number. I think stolen bases are about to skyrocket in Major League Baseball in general. There's going to be more aggressiveness around that. Everything points to we want more guys on base, and when they're on there, we want to utilize the speed. So I think it just league-wide, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to see some old-school baseball at times. And if the plate appearances are there for Birdie, which I believe they will be, then there's a real good chance he even surpasses last year's mark. What else do we have? This I thought was a really intriguing one. This is kind of at the heart of it as well for the Marlins in many ways. Jazz Chisholm Jr. over under 81.5 games at center field for the Marlins in 2023. It's been one of the biggest storylines, of course. I'm just not sure the way this is going to go, to be honest with you. If the Marlins make no moves, then Jazz will go way past this number. The way that he's been utilized in spring, the way that it's been talked about, et cetera, you know, Jazz is going to be out there, you know, if he's healthy, and that's the other question, but if Jazz is healthy, he's going to be out there in center field 140 games. So he's going to absolutely fly past this number. What are the reasons why Jazz won't get past 82 starts in 23 at center field? First one is health, clearly. There's been challenges there over the past few years. He looks great this year. He's feeling great. He's looking great in the box. You know, there's been some growing pains, let's say, at center field. Nothing, no instances today. All good. Cruised along, not much work. But, you know, it's health with Jazz. Secondly, it's performance in center field. And it's just how long a leash the Marlins give Jazz at center field if things really don't go well and it starts costing them games. Let's not forget Jonathan Villar, the center field, the opening day center fielder. I think he only played there once. The Marlins pulled the plug pretty quickly after he basically clunked the ball in, you know, in a big spot in like the seventh, eighth inning. I can't recall against who it was against, probably the Phillies, if I remember correctly. Maybe wrong in that. I think Jazz would have a longer leash than that. But this is the other question for that prop is, you know, is the performance going to be there? I think it's been a slightly than maybe we'd expected. Maybe that's a little bit unfair. But it's, you know, we're in the infancy of this one. It's all about reps. I think it's fundamentally down about reading the ball off the bat. That's what it seems to be. That seems to be the main challenge. The athleticism is there, but it's the recognition off the bat of where the ball is going in terms of the depth that it's traveling. That seems to be the challenge that Jazz is facing at the moment, and he's misreading a few balls. Unfortunately, you just got to be out there. You have to be there, experience it, stand there, and just start to get those reads before you can then start to capitalize and use your speed and athleticism. So it's just going to be what it's going to be. I think most likely, I don't even know what I think now. I keep changing my mind on this one. It still wouldn't stun me if the Marlins go and make a deal at center field. I think Alex Krychuk said that on the stream. I tend to agree that a lot of this feels like propaganda because everyone knew that the Marlins were desperate for center fielders, and that's only going to drive your trade price up. It felt to me like they kind of put this out there. Jazz is speaking about it like it's temporary. Jazz, I don't think, has a desire to be out there for the rest of his career. So at any point, a deal could come and change this. And so with that being said, with the health, the performance, and also the opportunity for the Marlins to add via trade, I'm going to say that Jazz Chisholm Jr. is under 82 starts at center field in 2023. Let's tell you about our good friends over at FanDuel. And then we've got one or two more, and then we will get out of here, guys. The NBA is really heating up now, and it is the perfect time to download FanDuel. It is America's number one sportsbook. New customers, listen up real good. They get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on everything. Moneyline, point scorers, the number of threes drained, you name it. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a higher payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, rounding up, guys, with a couple of further props that I enjoyed. The Nick Fortes plate appearances, I think, is very intriguing. The market is set at 2.5, so 275 for the over. Well, since this, well, around this time anyway, Nick Fortes is potentially struggling for opening day, some knee tendonitis stuff going on. As a catcher, if you've got knee problems, not good. Not good. So early question mark there on Nick Fortes. Can he make opening day? How bad is this knee? We'll wait to see. More generally, I am intrigued about the catching situation. A lot of us are. The reason we're intrigued about it is because Jacob Stallings' offense, whilst he wasn't billed as a big offensive catcher, particularly in the first half of the year when the Marlins were actually in the hunt, kind of, Stallings was putrid. Apart from opening day when he hit the bomb. The second half, when the pressure was off, yeah, Stallings came around. Nick Fortes didn't start opening day on the roster after having a great end to 2021, came onto the roster, showed talent. I absolutely love the swing and the profile of Nick Fortes. There is a pathway here with Stallings in particular where the Marlins may look to move Jacob Stallings at some point. It could happen this year. You know, we'll wait to see on this one. But Nick Fortes, 275 plate appearances. I don't see him DHing, and I don't see him playing at first base at all. So this is only catcher plate appearances. He's already hurt right now. But I think that he deserves and earns the opportunity. He's not going to be the everyday catcher where he's catching 5 out of 7. But I can see a 50-50 split situation. And there is potentially an outside chance that Jacob Stallings is traded at some point in 2023. With that being said, I'm taking the over on Nick Fortes on that one. Avisel Garcia, 1.5 war over under on that. Avisel Garcia, as I mentioned today, 3 Ks and a double play grounder. Boy, oh boy, Avisel Garcia, what can the Marlins do here? What can Avi do? What can anyone do with this one? Gut feel is skinny Avi in an odd year. He finds a way to make it happen. The Marlins are going to give him the opportunities, it seems. Not that he deserves the opportunities right now. In my opinion, Jesus Sanchez should be out there a lot more against righties than Avisel Garcia. Do they have the plums, the cojones? Do they have that approach to sit Avi against righties and let Jesus Sanchez ball out against righties? That is the question to you, Miami Marlins. Are you willing to sit $12 million or whatever it is a year for a role-type player? Do you have the cojones to do it? We'll wait and see. Avisel Garcia may step up and earn it. And we may look at it and go, hey, skinny odd year Avi, he's in there. He's absolutely en fuego. 22, Avisel Garcia. He should be benched. Jesus Sanchez should be playing every day against righties, and Avisel Garcia should be benched. Will the Marlins do it? We'll wait and see. Will Avisel Garcia get to 1.5 war? Gut feel in my eyes, they tell me no. I am going under on that one. I'm also interested to see, do the Marlins try and find a way out of the Avisel Garcia situation in some sort of way? I don't know what that could look like, but I'm intrigued to see if the Marlins try to find a way out, or even worst case situation, they just cut him. Cut him up. I don't know. We'll see on that one. I think that's extreme. There is a player in there somewhere. I just don't know what's happened with Avisel Garcia. The Marlins are maybe trying to do a PR spin on that one and say, hey, let's get him out of Miami and he'll come good again. We'll wait and see. One final one here, guys, then we will get out of here. And it was the Jorge Soler number for home runs, 29.5. Well done for Eli on this one. This is a tough mark, I think. Soler on pace for that. Question is health. Can he stand up? Looks like he's going to be playing in the field. What's going to happen with Jorge Soler? My gut feel is contract year Jorge Soler, he sails over this number. He sails over it. Does he end up with 30 home runs for the Marlins? I don't think so. Gut feel with Jorge Soler, it could be a similar situation to Adam Duvall when he raked. He had another year. I mean, we don't have to go through all of that. But if Jorge Soler has a decent first half of the year, let's say he's had 20 home runs or so by the deadline, gut feel is if the Marlins have faded away slightly, which is the most likely outcome, they'll look to cash in some sort of way on Jorge Soler. So I think under 30 for the Marlins. I think overall in 2023 for Jorge Soler, I think there's a decent shot he gets past 30, but a good chunk of them aren't at Loan Depot. That is going to wrap us up today, guys. I've gone 5 minutes over, but there were so many fun props there from Eli I wanted to get into, plus recapping on today's game as well. Overall, the spring roster is shrinking. We are starting to see the lineup, and I'm starting to like the look of the lineup. I like the balance of it. I'd like to see more from Soler and Avisel Garcia clearly in the middle of that lineup. But I do think that there is a real decent shot that Gerrit Cooper is DHing a ton. I think Yuli Gurriel is a much better first baseman defensively. So I think Gurriel picks up a ton of playing time there at first base. Coop into the DH spot, and then you have a five outfielder mix. Effectively, four corner outfielders on the roster. It's going to be really interesting to see how the Marlins mix and match those. There's a lot of props to get into, but overall, I am loving Luis Arias. I think Jazz doesn't make it to 82, or doesn't play half the year at center field for a few reasons. One of them being, I think the Marlins could execute a trade. I think Birdie smashes it up on the stolen bases. I think Nick Fortes can also go over on the plate appearances. He takes more playing time away from Jacob Stallings. Avisel Garcia, I am not hopeful on. Jorge Soler, I am. But equally, I could see him not being a Marlin at the end of 2023. Quick fire for you there, guys. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday, of course, and I'll see you then.